The gospel today is about bread. Again, because it's been a minute. This is our fourth Sunday talking about Jesus and bread. So in case you missed it before, and before that, and before that, and in case you missed it today, if you're not paying attention, we're going to do it again next week. Five Sundays. Five times. Did your mom ever tell you when you were a kid, if I have to tell you one more time, Jesus is doing the same thing? And there's a reason for that. And that repetition, bread upon bread upon bread, is the first clue as to what is actually happening. We'll get to that specifically in a minute. But to get us to that point where we can talk about Jesus as bread again, we have to go back a little bit into the scripture history and get us back up to speed. The point of all of this repetition is always to get us to a more deeper relationship with God through the machinations of wisdom, the application of discernment, careful reading, the careful intake of all this information that we get week after week in the scriptures and all the different stories, and whenever you do a Bible study on your own, the careful taking in, assimilation of information is what we're trying to get at today. In the first lesson from 1 Kings, we have the first piece of information that's going to get us to the gospel. In this story, we meet Solomon, one of David's sons. He asks God, because God's going to give him whatever he asks, which is, let's just take a quick sidebar here. This is important, that God actually says, okay, you're going to be the king. What do you want? Because we know how God feels about God's people selecting a king from amongst themselves. God's always like, I really don't want you to do that. But in this case, God says, okay, let's try this. Let's do this again. And he does something really amazing. God says, how can I help? Wow, right? Really, God is always saying to us, how can I help? And does so explicitly here. So Solomon is a keen observer of all that's happened in the story of his father. He's seen the nation of Israel fracture, come together, break apart again. He's seen his siblings attack and kill each other. He's seen the nation become really, really complex. Because in the promised land, it's not just the nation of Israel. It's a whole whack of other people. And everybody knows everybody else. And there are competing priorities and competing cultures. And so Solomon, who now is going to be the king, asks for the best possible thing to ask for, to somehow figure out how to govern and lead well. That's big. He wants to discern between good and evil. That's big. It's so big that God says, thank you so much for asking for that. Yes, I can help with this. And I can give you so much more because you think deeply and carefully. You have a desire to govern well as you could. Governing is not an easy task. In fact, I think it's quite an impossible thing to ask of anyone. So to ask for wisdom to do that is a great ask. Solomon is careful. And that carefulness leads us to the second lesson from Ephesians. Ephesians is, it's a beautiful letter. And I'm of the camp amongst the scholars that say that Paul didn't write this letter, but somebody else did. And we know the difference because it's very introspective. It asks questions. It's not so doctrinal as Paul can get sometimes. But it asks us to be wise. Be careful, the writer tells us. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise. In other words, discern well. Be careful. The thing about wisdom that we're being called to in Ephesians is that wisdom, at its nature, at its core, wisdom discerns. Wisdom is a powerful, like, superpower if you've got it. Wisdom is not hijacked, will not be hijacked by things like sensationalism and hype and fear and shock. Wisdom doesn't fall for that. Wisdom takes pace. Wisdom receives information, considers it, and then decides how it will proceed. It's so easy to be shocked these days, isn't it? I don't think I need to describe much more than that of what happens in world events. Wisdom tells us, don't be shocked. Be thoughtful. Be discerning. The writer of Ephesians says that the days are evil, probably because evil is chaotic, and chaotic creates these hijacking situations where we're shocked and fearful, and we get drawn in by the sensationalism of one thing or another. But Ephesians knows this. And Ephesians says, be careful. Be careful with yourself. Be careful with what you take in to yourself of all the things going on in the world. Be careful. Be discerning. Ask questions. Seek out the truth. And then you'll gain more wisdom. And that brings us to the gospel. There's some big leaps here today. The gospel is continuing to ask us, not in so many words, but to continue to ask us to be careful and to be discerning about what we read. Because the gospel is pretty edgy. The gospel says that Jesus is giving us his flesh to eat. It says it twice. And in the original Greek, we're talking about flesh. We're talking about Jesus describing himself as a bit of biceps. That's gross. And anyone will tell you that Christianity has struggled with this concept of cannibalism since then. Even the people that listen to him say, how can that be? How can you eat flesh? We're going to talk about that because it's a big topic. Theologians have done some pretty impressive backflips to try to describe how this is without it being cannibalism. So I'm going to give it a go too. So when it comes to theology, there's this progression from an assertion to a truth. And baked into theology is a requirement for being okay with ambiguity, because we don't have all the answers. We're asked to do the best we can do with what we've got, with the knowledge that we have. And so we try to apply wisdom and discernment to things like what Jesus says about himself today, to try to get us to that place where we can keep following Jesus and not be a little weirded out by what he just said. Remember, Jesus has talked about himself in terms of bread 4 times now. He's going to do it again next week. So if he keeps telling us this, and he's not letting this topic go, there must be something deeper in it for us to consider. We know that in the scriptures, wherever there's repetition, that's the clue that you need to go back and follow that repetition and go deeper and deeper and deeper to try to figure out what exactly the scriptures are getting at. When we talk about Jesus as bread and that we're supposed to eat this bread, go deeper than just bread and a bit of biceps. Go way back into the Hebrew texts. The rabbis would get themselves together and they would talk about the scriptures and they would debate back and forth. What does this mean? And they would refer to it as chewing on the scriptures, masticating the scriptures. That is to say, drawing out all the flavors. To masticate is to prepare to swallow, to prepare to ingest, to prepare to assimilate the nutrients. And so to chew on these texts, to go over these notions and these ideas that were ancient even to them, and they're really ancient to us now, is to pull out all the savory pieces, the sweetness, the bitterness, and the things that bring the fullness of what God is saying through these texts to us. So the rabbis would chew on the word. We're in the Gospel of John. What does John say about Jesus? John's high Christology says that Jesus was here before anything else. The world came to being through him, and through him the world came into being, and nothing came into being without him. Jesus is the Word of God. We say the texts of the Word of God. So when we chew, when we eat this bread, eat Jesus. He's not asking us to take a bite out of his leg. He's asking us to take in the deeper meaning of the Word, the Logos of God, to chew on that. Pull out the nutrients, the spiritual, life-giving nutrients of Jesus. Ingest that. Assimilate that into ourselves. Now, there are lots of ways of thinking about this, and there are some who will say, no, you just said those words up there. I had a little kid in a parish I served a few years ago, never set foot in church in her life, and she came with her auntie. She must have been about 9, and I'm up at the altar, and I'm doing my thing, and I said it, because it's in every single Eucharistic prayer. You know, take and eat, right? This is my body. Eat this. And in this really awesome stage whisper, I hear from the back of the church, I don't know what's going on, but she just said she's going to eat him. And I was like, well, yeah, I did say that. But there's more to it than that, right? But there's this theological concept called transubstantiation. Have you heard this one? Yeah? Okay. So there are those in the Anglican way who are all about transubstantiation, right? The little wafer up there and the little sip of wine actually become a bit of bicep and some blood. Now, I'm really aware that we have a few physicians in the room, so I'm going to tread real carefully on this one. But it's my understanding that if you eat, if you are a cannibal, you cannibalize a human being, and you do it enough, eventually you get a neurological condition called spongiform encephalopathy. Said it right, didn't I? Thank you. I've been practicing. You can't really eat other human beings and be served nutritionally that way. And yet, for most of us in this room, we've been eating the body of Christ most of our lives, and yet we're okay. So there are those who think that it does actually change, and transubstantiation doesn't say it suddenly becomes something different, because it still tastes like a little wafer and it still tastes like a bit of wine. It doesn't actually taste like flesh. I'm not sure what that tastes like, but I've had a cut lip before and I know what blood tastes like. It's not very good. It doesn't taste like any of that. So it's a deeper, more spiritual change, ontological change, to use theological words. But the idea is that we grow deeper, and by assimilating this bread of Christ, Jesus abides within us. We said that prayer at the very beginning of the service, when we said, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. That's the whole point, is that abiding, that indwelling, that that sense of drawing in over and over again all the best parts of Jesus, the deepest parts of our theology that guide us. Yes, you can ask a question. Yes, you can doubt. Yes, you can say, I don't know what she's doing up there, but she just said, yeah, you can say that. And in that saying of those questions and those doubts, you draw deeper into this relationship with God. The thing that I love about the Anglican Church is that there's room for that. There's room for those who say, I'm not touching that stuff because she just said. And then there's room for people who say, I would love to have the Eucharist every single day. There's room for that. Wisdom from Ephesians, the wisdom of Solomon, has become our wisdom in the Anglican Church. Wisdom says, do not get in the way of someone and God. Do not be a stumbling block for those who are seeking that relationship with Jesus. And so believe what you feel you need to believe to get further into that relationship. If you think that really turns into bread and wine, great. If you think, no, it's just a bit of wafer and a little bit of wine with some water in it, great. It's not our place to stand between you and God. It is our place, the place of the church, to make that available so that you can ask those questions, so that you can go back and say to Jesus, like the Pharisees in the scriptures, how can this be? And to keep engaging in this conversation, Jesus skillfully draws the disciples and his hearers into this deeper and deeper and deeper relationship with the repetition of the whole bread thing. He's like, okay, here's some bread. Come a little closer. Oh, okay, you've gathered community. Okay, come a little closer. Oh, you want some more bread? Come a little closer. Jesus is always drawing us nearer and nearer to him. And he does so in this repetition in the lectionary of this notion of bread. So when you hear it again, draw it in to yourself. Make a space in yourself, in whatever way that looks, so that you can follow Jesus in all of his prompts and all of those repetitions. Grow deeper into this relationship with God that's based on wisdom, that is not confounded by distractions and hype and sensationalism and the idea that the Greeks actually used a word that means soft tissue. Go beyond those things. Find that deeper relationship with Jesus. The bread is a great vehicle. The wine is a great vehicle because it involves your whole body. You don't just sit, you don't just stand, you don't just sing, you don't say prayers or read prayers. You actually have to stand and receive. That's what Jesus is looking for. Jesus is calling us to come forward. Come get him. He wants to be gotten. He wants to be gotten so well that he wants to abide right inside you all the time. So, ambiguity is baked into theology. That's the best explanation I could give for the use of that word flesh. And this whole notion of Jesus and eating his flesh and drinking his blood, this is the best I can do. And I hope it's enough. What's the best you can do? Know that it's enough. And get into your relationship with Jesus in whatever way you can. That's the good news. Amen.